In your Bible, I want you to begin to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And when you get there, that is one of the epistles. Then I want you to say amen. Let me know that you made it. It's right after Ephesians. So if you get to Galatians and you're headed to the right, you'll have Ephesians, then Philippians. If you get to Colossians and, you know, the T's of Thessalonians and Timothy and all that, you've gone too far. So back right up and go to Philippians chapter 2. Everybody there, say amen. Amen. Is anybody still looking? If you're still looking, go to the table of contents in the front. Hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. We don't have pride. Thank God. This morning, I want to talk about the greatest gift that was sent for us. And all of us understand probably that that's talking about Jesus, right? We understand He is the greatest gift. And a lot of times we are very concerned about what we receive this Christmas holiday. Matter of fact, my little boy, and I just lift up Seth and I lift up Jamie. They're at home and not feeling too good. So I begin to, well, rebuke any kind of sickness from my home. And so I have them quarantined. And but Jamie's starting to feel a little better, and Seth started, you know, getting a little fever yesterday. And so we laid hands on him and got him some help. But I just lift up them in Jesus' name. And anybody else, I listen to me. The great physician is a great flu shot. If you just believe in His healing power, by His stripes we're healed. And so I just lift up anybody that's down with sickness or disease, and you begin to say, no, I just rebuke that, and sickness and disease is not supposed to come near my body. The temple of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me, and we don't have time to get sick. Amen? But when we're talking about these kind of things, talking about gifts, Seth come to me and he said, Dad, man, it would be tough if your birthday was close to Christmas. And he goes, Dad, what if your birthday was on the day that Jesus's birthday was? Well, you know where his mind is going, right? Because he's thinking presents. And how mom and dad would then just incorporate all the presents together. That's your Christmas and your birthday. And for most kids, no, they would not like that. Would you agree with that? Come on, shout. I mean, just you agree, right? I mean, you want that separate. You want the presents on the birthday, and then you want the Christmas presents. And they need to be separated. That should be a law to a kid. But it got me to thinking, because a lot of times our focus is on the gift, on the purchasing of it, and so on. And so the Lord just began to deal with me, and he reminded me that we do not have to have holiday chaos and confusion. Because I'm here to tell you, it tries to come on every single family. And again, I bet if I ask each individual, you could probably think right now of maybe some family members that you only see once a year that are flat trouble. Don't do that. And maybe they're not believers. Maybe they're just different. Maybe they're not like you. Maybe you didn't get along. And it seems like when we all get together, there's an opportunity to get in strife, to get in chaos, to get in bitterness, and just flat not have any peace. And I think this message this morning can give us some lessons that we can have peace this Christmas season. Say amen to that. And so I turned over to Philippians chapter 2, and I began reading, and the Lord just began to minister to me and gave me some lessons in Scripture here that the Apostle Paul was giving to the people about having peace. And so let's begin to read in verse 1. It says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, and of one mind." And then it begins to teach us some things. But underline, if you want to, in your Bible, being the same love, of one accord, and of one mind. Underline that, because it's very important that we are in unity of the faith. And then he begins to give us some warnings. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each one esteem others better than themselves." Verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, "Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth." In other words, he took care of everything right then. That number one, he's got a name above every name. And that at that name, and hopefully every single one in here or watching us right now, has declared Jesus as Lord. Because if you haven't, one day you will. Matter of fact, he says you'll do it either here on earth, you'll do it in heaven, or you'll do it in hell, under the earth. So he took care of everything right there. Amen? Keep reading, though. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have all always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do good of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as the lights of the world." Amen. Gosh. God showed me some wonderful things and lessons about having peace in this season. Because as we all know, the enemy does not want you to have the peace and the joy in this holiday season. No, he wants you to get your mind focused on all the preparation of the celebration of the Prince of Peace. He wants you to get your mind so fixated on the busyness of going and getting gifts. Or how about people that just don't have the money to buy the gifts that they want to buy people? And then you start talking about the family that's coming and trying to figure out where they're going to sleep and how are we going to do this? And then the finances that it takes to prepare the meals and who's going to cook this? Mom came over and says, "Okay, I'm gonna delegate some things." And she began to say that, "Okay, I'll make the pecan pie. And I'll make this one, and I'll make that one. And Jamie, you do this one. And we'll go to the store together." And Jamie wasn't feeling good when she came. And she just said, okay, give me one day. Just give me a little time and then I'll go to the... Well, here then, sickness is trying to come on my household. And before you know it, all this stuff can just get so bombarded on one that we don't have a bit of peace. And here we are trying to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. So look at a few things that the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, began to minister to the Philippian people and now to you and I. Again, here's some lessons for peace this Christmas. Number one, have no strife. And if you notice in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. There's something about looking to others, because we won't have strife if we're thinking about other people. How important is that? That it's not all about us. And again, as a little kid, man, it would be terrible if you didn't get Christmas and birthday presents separately. But again, what's the enemy trying to do to a little kid's mind is that the Christmas gift and what they receive is way more important than the one who was born on this day. And strife tries to come in. The Bible says where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. So I think it's pretty important that we don't allow strife to get in, and what will cause strife not to come is if you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about others. Amen? Here's number two. I think it's very important that we stay in control. You know, about 3 weeks ago in Galatians chapter 5, we've been teaching our 40 and under group, me and Jamie, about the fruits of the Spirit. And we talked about one of the last fruits of the Spirit, meekness. And really, if you remember, and I ministered to it here about meekness and those kind of things, remember that meekness has to do with an attitude or your demeanor. In other words, in this season, if you don't want to have peace, lose control. Because the devil wants you to lose control. But man, if you've got that fruit of the Spirit, meekness, you're not going to lose control. Why? Because you're going to stay in control. You're going to say, you know what? I know that person is trying to get under my skin right now. And I know I want to slap them upside the head. Ha! But I'm not going to. You know why? Because I'm going to be in control. I mean, it wasn't very long ago that I just had to keep my mouth shut in a situation. And I did not want to, y'all. I didn't want to. I'm plumb tired of it. I've had to deal with it for years. And I wanted to say something. But you know what? If I had have said something, I would not be in the midst of peace in that situation. And neither would any of my family. So I decided to be quiet. You know, there's something about being in control and not getting into the flesh. Because you start reading in 5:20 above 22 in Galatians, it talks about the works of the flesh, how we get into anger and all those kind of things. Well, I don't know about you, but this Christmas holiday is, why don't we stay in control? Because that's what we need to be in. Here's number three, but I want to teach you something before we go there, and it's in verse 6. In the Amplified, the Bible says, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which makes God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Here's what this means. I want to focus in on that first part in verse 6, who being in the form of God. I want you to understand, and this is why we have to stay in control, we have to not allow strife to come in, is because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Would you agree with that? But a lot of people think that when he was born, that was the beginning of Jesus. How many of you know that's not the truth? Because his beginning was not when he was born. He is God Almighty, but yet in his splendor, he became like a man so that he could experience everything that you and I experience, and he defeats it so that you and I can defeat the things that are trying to get us down. The weights of this world, praise God. You see, the beginning wasn't when Jesus was born, because he was God, 100%. It's like a God himself came as the Son so that he could become that 100% man, so that we could all, again, have the victory instead of always being the victim. And you need to understand that. That even though we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, that's not the beginning of who you and I are. No, the beginning of Jesus was, he was there from the beginning. And he knows the beginning from the end. And you need to understand that Jesus, his beginning wasn't his birth. Therefore, you and I, we can live in a more victorious life knowing that God is on our side. He's so on our side that he sent himself to become 100% man while he was 100% God, so that you and I can be redeemed from the curse of the law, so that you and I can be forgiven, we can live in mercy, we can live in grace, we can live under the protection of God Almighty, as Psalms chapter 91 talks about. He that dwells in that secret place of the Most High shall abide under that shadow of the Almighty. Thank God that we don't have to just go back to the birth of Jesus. No, we get to go all the way back because we were created in God's image. And when we're created in God's image, then he made you exactly how you're supposed to be. In the fullness of Christ, praise God. And it's our fault. We need to look at us when things don't go right. But I'm here to tell you, if we learn to not get into strife and we maintain control when the world's trying to get us out of control, I'll show you marriages that survive, or you'll get delivered and set free and have some redemption of forgiveness. And then when you get in the next relationship, it won't be like the last one. Say amen to this, y'all. Because we need to not get into strife. We don't need to get into not being in control. Now, I understand that God's in control, but yet you and I are the hands and the feet of God. We're the ones that have to go out and speak the word of God. He's already done everything he's going to do. He died for us. He was raised from the dead, praise God. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But now it's up to you and I to declare his word. When the doctors say that we're sick and we have flu B, we can either say, oh, okay, or we can say, no, I'm healed in Jesus' name. That's when we can say, no, I'm not going to go through the cycle of one getting it and then the next getting it and then the next, because a lot of times that's what our mouth says. And we don't have a bit of peace in this time. Well, how many of you have ever heard, well, it's just that time of year. It's flu season. Well, why don't we start changing the way we speak, and we start saying, you know what? We're not going to participate in the world's season of flu. That's what I said. When I saw that Seth now has you know, a fever, I was alone by myself, and I said, I said, Father, that will not come to me. Because I have to preach on Sunday. I got to sing on Sunday, and my fingers are sore from practicing that guitar. I said, I have to do the service on Tuesday, and I'm singing by myself, sir. I am, because of you, the show. Ricky's leaving. Howdy can preach. I can use him. But I'm here to tell you right now, he is not going to sing. He's like, mm-mm. I can ask him, and he's going to go, that ain't happening. I said, I am not dealing with this, sir. London, bless her heart, after she got to feeling better, she went and got this disinfectant stuff. She almost killed us. She disinfected everything. Dad, you got to give me your phone. You see, there's something about you and I declaring the word of God and staying and maintaining control. Number three. Another lesson for peace this Christmas is, why don't we get the attitude of a servant? Jesus became a servant. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says, Jesus said this himself. He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. You know, in the epistles, the Bible says that we are to imitate Christ. Well, why don't we serve others? Because if we're serving others, we're going to get served. That principle of sowing and reaping, Jamie had the show on because she's been in bed. And how many of you know that the Bible says that God reigns on the just and the unjust? In other words, someone doesn't even have to be born again. And I'm not judging anyone's salvation. But if someone is not born again, if they do the principles that God set forth, they're just a giver. I'm telling you, they're going to reap as if, I mean, that principle is going to, it's going to work for them. If they are sowers, they're going to be reapers. And there was a show on, and this host, they paid off a $300,000 mortgage for a vet. They gave everybody in the audience a new TV, video game. What do you call that? Xboxes. We got one, by the way. I just don't know how to run it. Boy, Seth does. Oh man. The list kept going on and on and on. Matter of fact, they gave everybody, and there was probably 200 or 300 in the audience, gave everybody like 4-night trip to Iceland. I said, you can have that on yourself. I ain't going to Iceland. Too cold. But I mean, the point was, why don't we allow these principles to work for us believers? Because then God gets the glory. But see, they'll still work for anyone. All we need to do is just, why don't we get this servant-minded? Because this person wasn't thinking of herself. She was actually thinking of everybody else, you see. And here Jesus became a servant. Well, wait a minute. He's the Son of God. He's the Holy One. Why would he serve me? I'm supposed to serve him. Well, why don't we get that attitude? Then, you know, it's not about Corey Ross being the pastor of this church. It's an honor that God called me. But I want to be a blessing to you, you see. That's always been my attitude. Matter of fact, my wife, she has to watch me. Because I might give everything away. Anybody that is close to me. And then Jamie started, okay. A girl goes, oh, I love that watch. Now, don't start doing this. And Jamie just goes, okay, here. Well, I just want to bless you with it. I'm like, wow, girl. I said, what kind of watch is that for a second? You see, there's something about wanting to serve others. Not get all high and haughty and minded about my position. No, my position doesn't mean anything if I'm not doing it with the right heart. There's people here this morning because God showed me that I want to just teach this Bible. I want to teach what this word says, and people are amazed. I remember when we first started here, people were like, I get to hang out with Pastor Corey. One little girl called me the Pope. My mom and dad's hanging out with the Pope today. I said, I'm not the Pope, I can promise you that. No, I'm better than that. Amen. No, so are you. Let me explain. Let me explain. The point is you was made in the image of God. And just because he's the Pope and God, you know, he's in that place or whatever, or minister, or Billy Graham was in the place that he was, God doesn't show Billy Graham any more favoritism than he shows you. He's no respecter of persons. He created you just like he did Billy Graham, and he loves me just like he loves the Pope. But I am not the Pope. I'm better than that. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, we're not trying to be haughty. We're just knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. Hopefully that will minister to someone here. Because there's enough people trying to put you down. And God is like, nah. You are someone in Christ, girl. You are marvelously made. And that's what God wants to speak to you. You were made in such a time as this. And even though all the people have tried to set you back a tad bit, the Spirit of God wanted me to tell you individually, and I've known you a long time, that he loves you so much. And all those kiddos that you love, that look up to you, he wanted me to tell you that he set you in that position for a reason, so that they can be lifted up instead of pushed down. But in the meantime, a lot of times others then try to cause you to be pushed back. And the Lord says, don't let that ever happen, because you were made in such a time as this, and you are like splendor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Let me finish this real fast. So, sometimes you just got to go off script, right? Praise God. Here's the last one, and I'll close. And it's talking about verse 9 through 11. Did you notice it says that he humbled himself and became flesh, basically? In other words, God highly exalted him because, again, he humbled himself. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what you and I need to do. Stay humble. I saw a picture of the 2019 world champion, calf roper. He's a rookie this year. His name is Haven Megan. I know him, but not well, because he's starting to steer rope with us. So he's starting to hang out with my group quite a bit. And he just won as a rookie, first time to ever buy his card, won the world championship. I think he won $120,000-some and won that beautiful gold buckle. Do you know that gold buckle that they get to win the world of the national finals costs $17,000? So they have to have it insured, as if it was a Rolex or whatever. And then they get that saddle. Well, 3 days after it, there was a video that popped up on Facebook that his mom took, and he was working in the feedlot. Here's the man that just won $124,000. 3 days after winning the world championship, and everybody saw him at Las Vegas, not only win the world championship, but he won the average. He roped 10 calves, and so he got the average buckle and the average saddle and the world championship buckle and the world championship saddle. And 3 days later, he's not all, oh, I need to get some more sponsors. No, he was working in the feedlot that his mom and dad owned. I thought, that's amazing. He could have had servants doing his job. I mean, how many of you said, if I win the lottery, I'm not going back to my job? See you. Very seldom do you ever hear someone go, oh, I love my job as a ditch digger, so when I won the lottery, I just kept digging ditches. No. They never say that. They say, we're out. Bye, Kenny Mac. Find someone else, brother. You see, there's something about humbling ourselves. And here's the last thing I'm going to say. That will cause you to not have chaos and confusion in this season is verse 15. Look at it. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I mean, it's wild all around you, and look, among whom ye shine as the light of this world. You see, Jesus is not here anymore to shine, but he lives on the inside of you, so it's up to you and I now to shine. Man, you want to talk about not getting into chaos and confusion and strife and all those things? Don't have strife. Stay in control. Be about a servant and be humble. And I'll show you someone to be like a light in this wicked and perverse world. That is you, ladies and gentlemen. And you can have peace in about 3 days. It doesn't have to be chaotic. You might have to keep your mouth shut, and that's fine. But we're going to have peace this Christmas holiday in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Did you enjoy it? Yes. Praise God. Well, Father, thank you, Lord, for just a good time in your presence. Now, Father, as we end this service, I thank you, Lord, that, number one, we need to give someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So if there's anyone here or watching that doesn't know what would happen to them if they died, they don't know if they'd go to heaven or they'd go to hell. Father, I ask you to draw their hearts to you right now in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, if you're here this morning and you just don't know the answer to that question, what would happen to you if you died and you left this earth? Here's what the Bible says. If Jesus is the Lord of your life and you confess him, Romans 10:9, that you confess the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved and you'll go to heaven because Jesus is the Lord of your life. John 14 says it like this. He says that there's only one way to get to the Father in heaven, and it's through Jesus, because he's the only way, the only truth, the only life. So it has to be through Jesus, not trying to be a good person, not going to church all the time. I mean, you need to do that, but that's not what's going to get you saved. What's going to get you saved is Jesus Christ. The other side of that is, if you choose not to receive Jesus and you don't want to have anything to do with God Almighty, then when you leave this earth, you're going to have to go to a place called hell. I don't want you to do that. This is all according to the Bible. There's two places, heaven or hell. I want you to choose heaven by receiving Jesus this morning. Says, Mike, just plays just a little music for me. If you've never given your life to Jesus, give it to him right now by praying a prayer to ask Jesus to come into your life with all of us. We're all going to pray it. But again, if you're here, if you're watching, and you don't know what would happen to you if you died, know today and ask Jesus to come into your life so that you can bust heaven wide open. And so we're going to pray a prayer. All of us again are going to pray it. Maybe we're praying it with someone here this morning that has just never, you just never have given your life to anyone. And it's time that you give it to Jesus right now. And so I'm going to pray it and you pray after me. You ready? Out of your mouth, and all of us are going to pray it. Say, Father in heaven, and I open the door of my heart And I confess with my mouth, according to the Bible, that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe in you, and I want to live for you, and I want to go to heaven and not hell. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen and you look up, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, we're not going to embarrass you. But I want you to be bold enough to say, you know what, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed that Jesus is now my Lord. Not the church, not some preacher, Jesus. If Jesus just became your Lord and you prayed that prayer for the first time, when I count to three, all I want you to do right where you're sitting, if you're at home watching or somewhere listening, then you're just going to have to do it to yourself. When I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, you don't have to say this out loud, but this is what you're saying. You raise your hand up and say, God, I just gave my life to Jesus Christ. When I die, I'm coming to heaven. If that was you, I want you to raise your hand up when I say three. One, two, three. Ready? With every bit of boldness. One, two, three. Go. Anybody? Praise God. All right, look at me, everybody. That means every single person in here is born again. Amen. Thank the Lord. But listen to me. If we're going to be a servant, we got to be about others, right? And there may be people out there, kids at school or someone we work with or still family members that they just need Jesus. Amen? And if they have Jesus, they'll have a holiday that will be a lot better. Amen. All right. They're going to go start getting ready to get dunked. I want people that want to join our church, I want you to get ready to come down here and let us pray over you. That's all I do. But I want to remind you real fast, on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, it'll be a one-hour service. I want you to bring your family. I want you to bring your friends and come for our Christmas Eve service right here. It's going to be a fun time. And just spread the word. Put it on social media that we're going to have a Christmas Eve service starting at 7. Remember, not 7:30, 7 o'clock, and we'll be done by 8 o'clock so we can get back to our families and so on. And then they wanted me to tell you on January 12th, Denise, would you stand up just so everybody can see you? They're starting the Financial Peace University meetings again. And you want to talk about learning how to deal with finances? It's a heck of a class, and that class is starting then. More information, come see her about it, because they're going to start that on January the 12th. Amen? I want you to also, and I want to make this big, because it's for our community, but here at Cowboy Church, we are having what we call a Vision 2020. And what it is Christian engagement in the political process. Listen. The thing that has gone wrong for our country, you know what it is for our country? Is Christians has stayed back and haven't been a part of politics. And I'm not saying we get political in a church, but how many of you know it was us that caused prayer to be taken away from school? Because we thought, no, there's a separation of church and state. No. That has been so misused. The separation is that the government can't control how we serve our God. Amen? And so Mike McCloskey is in the back, and he has got this organized that there will be important information to be shared about how we can, as Christians, participate in the election year, and an opportunity to meet state and local leaders, judges, state leaders, our commissioners are going to be here. And that's going to be on Tuesday, January the 7th. So it's going to be on a Tuesday night. And we're gonna have a blast. So I want as many as the town's coming. Other churches are gonna be invited. And again, it's gonna be right here at 7 o'clock on Tuesday the 7th. So we won't have our regular Bible studies. We're gonna have, we're gonna talk about how Christians can make an impact in our city, in our counties, in our state, and in our country. Get God back in our country in a mighty way, and that's what we're going to do. Amen. And so he's got information back there. All right, the last thing is, if you believe that God has planted you in this church, I want you to come up here, and this is how we join a church. If you believe God has planted you here to join, you've never joined this church before, I want you to get out of your seat and come up here and just let us make a covenant over you, pray over you in Jesus' name. Come on, is there anybody? There's one. Amen. Come on. A lot of times people will come for the first time and say, man, this is where I'm supposed to join. And if that's you, come on down. Amen. Honored to have you, sound man. Anybody else? You've never joined this church, but you feel like you're supposed to? Amen. Listen to me. I believe that covenant is very important. It's a promise. And we want to make a covenant as you join and plant in this church that God would use you in a mighty way. Wherever, let him open the doors. Obviously, you are a sound man, and he's using you in a mighty way there. But it's important when you say, you know what, this is my church. This is a church that God is using, you know, me in, and I want him to do that. And he'll use y'all in a mighty way. And so the covenant that we want to make together as a promise is that for us, we promise that we will preach the word of God from Revelations all the way back to Genesis. Amen. We will counsel. We will help you any way that we can. We want to feed you spiritually. What I want a promise from you guys is come to church when you can. Amen. Be a part. Let God open the doors for you in any way to just be a blessing here. And I promise you, he will, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. All right. It's an honor to have you guys. So I want to pray over you. Would y'all stretch your hands towards these three? Father, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the lives of all three of these people, in Jesus' name. Thank you, sir, that we receive them as members and their families. I ask you just to use them in a mighty way. And Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over them. And thank you that, Father, all of their lives, they are blessed. They have the anointing of Jesus Christ, the anointed one, all over them. And Father, you get glory. So use them in a mighty way and give us wisdom on how we can speak into their lives better. We just call them now family. And it's an honor to have them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen. All right. Did y'all have a good time? Y'all stay right here. What we're going to do real fast, is if y'all don't mind, I want you to come and just introduce yourself to them. Just don't give them any stories, guys. I know how y'all are. You know, back in 1942. No, just say, hello, my name is so-and-so. It's an honor to have you, or whatever. And let's just meet them. And then I'm going straight back there with this microphone. If there's anybody here that's never been baptized, I want you to get baptized. It's the first act of obedience after you get saved. I know a lot of people that got saved years ago and have never been baptized. Come on, y'all. You don't be scared. I've baptized people in pools, in water troughs, in bathtubs. And that's a good water trough. And I ask Howdy, and tell me if I'm right. I told him to put warm water in there. Did you? No, go feel it. I bet it's warm. Amen. Anyway, let's stand to our feet and be dismissed. Hey, Merry Christmas. If you can come Tuesday night, please join us. Celebrate Jesus and his birthday with us on Tuesday night, and then Merry Christmas to the ones that can't. Amen. If you're leaving, I just pray traveling mercies over you. And go have a good time. All with peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing here at Cowboy Church. We just received these three that are joining our church and their families. Just thank you, Lord, for them. God, what you're going to do. in their lives, and just what a blessing. We also thank you, Lord, that the ones that are going to get baptized, what a privilege to be able to see people go under that water as the death, the burial, and then come up the resurrection of the new them in Christ Jesus. And that's what Jesus did. That's what John the Baptist did. That's what believers do now. We get to get baptized and just go under that water old and come up new. And that's what it represents. So thank you, Father, for blessing the baptisms. And we just praise you for a wonderful Christmas. And finally, sir, and y'all be in agreement with this one right here, because this is important. Father, that the real Dallas Cowboys show up today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, with a big round of applause, just come and meet them, and then let's go baptize. Amen.